thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 30th of September to the 3rd of October 2024. Hello. How are you this week? Are you well? Good. You're better than I am, trust me. Hello, Ree. How are you this week?
I'm good, thanks, Ro. We could all tell by your turn, even when you said hello, like everyone's going to know what the result is, Rob.
Can I, right, settle down, right, because I've got a tale for you, okay? It went perfectly.
It's driving test for anyone who didn't know what we're about, by the way.
If you weren't here last week, I had my driving test today, okay, before we started recording it, about 8 o'clock this morning, all right? And it went perfectly throughout the whole entire thing. I didn't have a single mark on my test until the final 2 minutes of the test where I stalled on a roundabout and somebody had to stop. And because something I had done had affected another road user, that counts as a fail. So I would rather have screwed. I'd rather have crashed. I'd rather have hit a pensioner than that happened.
No, you wouldn't. He's saying this, right? And I'm saying, but if you'd have failed spectacularly, you wouldn't even be thinking about putting in for another test. But now that you know that you can drive, and it was just a silly, rather big mistake. At least you can feel more confident about doing it next time. But it is incredibly frustrating. Incredibly frustrating.
So close.
I can't believe that you got perfect before.
Neither
that,
can I.
Honest with you, Rob.
Neither can I.
Like, bravo. Bravo.
I cannot believe that. I was fully... If you'd have told me, like, it was this, yes, but then something else happened, I'd have been like, all right, fair. But Brit would have been absolutely perfect through the whole test until that fight. I was too... corners away from driving back into the test center.
Why?
2 minutes away. 2 minutes.
Do you know what it is as well? Roundabouts are your nemesis.
I hate
roundabouts. Said this from day dot. You hate roundabouts.
I've also said is that I hate manual cars. And if that hadn't been a manual car, that wouldn't have happened.
Why? What happened? What were it?
Because I was trying to go off in first and went off in third instead. It was a couple of inches.
We all
out.
Do it there. We all do that from time to time.
Oh, so there we are then. So I'll have to do that again. I can't believe I've got to do the whole thing again. That's the thing. I've got to go through the entire stress of doing another test just for that. I'm very annoyed. And I've also had a cold this week. I'm in foul humour. So good luck for the show this week. Good luck.
Great. Can't wait for this really enjoyable chat we're going to have about EastEnders.
Have fun, everybody. Right. It is October now. We're about to change the calendar.
At least we've got something positive to do.
Something to look forward to. So say goodbye to Pat and Frank on their wedding day.
Bye.
What Peggy picture did you
choose? Peggy? You said Pat and Frank then.
Oh, what's that? Yeah, Peggy. See, I was in Frank mode there, wasn't I? I went into third instead of first then, didn't I? God. What Peggy picture did you choose for my birthday month three? You have no idea, have you? It is a Pat and Peggy in the ice cream van. Quite right.
There you go. Loving life. Right.
Yeah, absolutely battered the pair.
Pissed as a fart.
Yes, as anyone should be when they're going to an ice cream van. Apparently, very little acting was required when they filmed that scene. I don't know if that means that they were pissed when they did it, or rather that they just had a lot to refer back to. But
maybe they were just giddy and in the role.
Indeed. So there we go then. That is October's picture. We'll get that on the wall in a moment. Right, this week. Wow. I mean, Bit of a controversial week, it's turned out, in some regards.
Yes, yes.
But we shall talk about that. And we also have a big return to discuss going into next week. So let's crack on with this week's Albert Square After Dark. So let's crack on this week with the storyline that's proved a little bit controversial, I think, with some viewers. We'll have a conversation about it. This is Yolandi and the Pastor, who made a return this week. Now, I've got to be honest, straight off the bat, I wasn't expecting to see Pastor Clayton again. I thought that he'd be arrested. I'd heard how this storyline was going to go, and I thought that we just wouldn't see him again, and that was all going to happen off screen. Mm-hmm. But he returned this week. So let's delve into the main details of why this has proven so controversial for some viewers online, okay? And now, obviously, viewers online aren't the voice of the viewers, but they're a lot louder because, you know, online stuff often is. As it transpires, Yolandi is never going to get this justice for what has happened because Pastor Clayton ends up taking his own life.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ree, what were your thoughts on that little development?
Because I saw a spoiler as well, which is very frustrating because I didn't want to see the spoiler.
Yeah.
But initially, I did think, rather than the controversy, I just thought it was kind of a lazy get out, if I'm honest with you. That was my initial thought.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've seen it and how it's played out, I actually think it works because either way, I don't feel like realistically she would have got justice. Even if you've got all these women coming forward without any actual evidence. So otherwise, what we would have been witnessing was potentially the court case being dragged out, Pastor Clayton still being on the loose, so to speak.
Yeah.
So how would they have managed that? What then? Then we're meant to believe, well, guess what? They just go to another church and do it again, or these whatever role they're in or something. So I don't know. I don't think it was that bad, actually. No. My initial thought when I saw the spoiler was, what a lazy get out. And then when I watched it, I was like, actually, that totally
sort of get
sense.
Why. Yeah.
Like his final, like, almost revenge as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting because I think the reaction to it has been basically that people wanted Yolandi to get justice. Of course they did, because we've watched Yolandi absolutely suffer as a result of this assault. Like,
and all the other women. We all want them to get justice, of course,
And I think people sometimes think that a soap has the responsibility to put a little bit of optimism in a storyline like this.
Mm.
See, the thing is, I, at no point during this storyline, have ever believed that Yolandi was ever going to get justice for this, because I don't think that's what the story has ever been about.
Mm-hmm.
I was right from the start, when we were getting the flashbacks of the women, it was very much, I think, warming us up to the idea of, look how long these women have gone without justice. Why would Yolandi being involved make that much of a difference to justice arriving for those women?
Yeah, and also, for me, it depends on what you deem as justice, because something that I found surprising this week is that both Agatha and Stella didn't even question Yolandi on it. They believed her straight away. And in a way, for me, that is, and I'm sure Yolandi and the other women might not feel that way, but in a way, that's a little bit of justice, because at least they understood his character.
Yeah.
So yeah, you might not have got legal justice, but the fact that that people are believing you, and no one's doubted Yolandi when she said it, have they? Not one person said she's made it up, which realistically you would expect. I was surprised that Agatha put it that way. I thought Agatha would be like, no, we all saw what you were doing, Yolandi, but she knew any of that. She apologised and was like, oh, I didn't realise that's what was going on.
Yeah.
So in some ways you could argue that there is a little bit of justice that's happened.
Yeah.
Don't know.
And what
I don't want to be controversial in saying that.
Right, but I mean, it's just two people's opinion on it. And what I would also argue is that actually, I think there's actually a very sort of sad bit of realism to the way this storyline's played out.
Yes.
Because how often do you hear about these crimes coming to light well after the perpetrator's dead?
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at Jimmy Savile.
Look
at Jeffrey Epstein. He never received justice before everything. The guy from Harrods, who's all been over the news the past few weeks, dead before justice arrived to him.
Mm.
So it's not an uncommon thing, I think, for either death to get there first before justice, or for these perpetrators to decide, oh, actually, no, I'm too cowardly to face this justice. I'll just top myself, thanks, because that's the end of my life anyway. Mm. So I don't really see how it's portray it like this.
The only other way that you could have got a bit of, not justice, but perhaps a bit of closure for you, Andy, would have been, obviously I'm skipping ahead here, but when they listened to the voice note, I was expecting Pastor Clayton to admit to it on that voice note, and that to be his admission. I was shocked when he was still denying it on the voice note.
Yeah, see, now that for me actually cemented what I thought about it, because I didn't, because if he's committing suicide because he's too cowardly to accept the justice that's coming,
true.
He wants the only person that I think that he could possibly still manipulate at this point, which was Stella, who went through a whole sort of epiphany of her own this week. She's the only weapon he's got left in that regard. So for him to send those messages to her, I mean, disregarding the fact that if you committed suicide, then why have you done that? If you're innocent of all of these charges that are being put to you, because a third woman was going to come forward this week.
True.
So the dominoes were starting to fall. The tower of cards was starting to fall around him. So I think there is a huge element of realism to the way this has played out. It might be frustrating, I can understand why you might look at it at its basic level and say, oh, it seems a little bit lazy after all these months of build-up. Yeah. But actually, it kind of feels quite real to me, I think.
Yeah, it does after watching it.
I mean, once again, we have an amazing powerhouse performance from Angela Winter this week. You know, Lani's been quiet for a few weeks, but once again, Angela Winter comes forward, shows up why she should have won a Best Actor award at the NTAs, let's be real. I mean, I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter about that whatsoever.
She's amazing, isn't she?
She's amazing.
Actually outstanding.
And the difference is we still get to keep her. And the person who won Best Actor has now left their soap. So we get to keep Angela Winter for hopefully a long, long, long time to come, because she's amazing. And the dynamic between Yolande and Patrick, again, demonstrated what a great pairing they are this week. I thought it was really interesting, actually. So with this now having happened, how do you think Yolande now begins to put her life back together again?
Well, the week ended, didn't it, with her throwing the Bible away?
Yeah.
It's interesting because she's given this advice to Stella about faith and stuff. And then it's interesting to see how then Yolande's acting upon hearing this news and how she's personally reacting. And I do wonder if we're going to have another crisis of faith again, and whether she's just going to accept that this was just one bad person who's, you know, manipulated the situation he's always been in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the realisation that she's ultimately going to have to come to. But I mean, I've never understood why anybody in soap ever is religious, because of all the stuff that happens to you when you live in a soap, why would you ever rely on God? Like, why have you made that happen to me? Oh, and something else as well. Oh, and something else. Oh, and my house has just blown up with my husband inside. Yeah, thanks. Like, why would you ever rely on God at a moment like that?
In a soap.
But I really liked those scenes between Yolande and Stella. I thought the actress who played Stella actually played a cracker this week. I thought she was really, really good.
She did.
And I thought it was interesting the way that the Yolande sort of internal struggle played out with regards to the religious stuff, because once he had killed himself, she was sat there thinking, right, well, the right thing for me to do at this point is to pray for him, because that makes me automatically a better person. But I think the fact that she couldn't even bring herself really to do that is what's made her really doubt her faith. It's not so much what's happened to her, it's what her own internal struggles have led her to think about somebody who's just committed suicide.
She did try and pray for him, didn't she? But we didn't see her fully pray.
No, because she couldn't.
I think it was trying to show as well that not only was it to do with faith, but it was to do with her character, and that normally her go-to, if she'd ever heard of anyone committing suicide, would be that I would pray for their soul, which is what she said.
Yeah.
But because of the trauma that's happened to her and the assault, it's almost changed her character, which is understandable because it's towards Clayton. I think that's what we were trying to see as well with that.
That confrontation between... that confrontation between Yolande and Clayton was interesting, because that was really sort of taking apart Clayton's character. He at no point was ever going to admit to this. This is what I mean. There should be, I don't think, any surprise that he was never going to admit to any of it, because he's just so against the idea that he's done anything wrong.
But this is it. So I believed everything he was saying. Like, I believed that he believed, should I say.
Yeah.
I believe, because at one point that's when Yolande laughed at him and went, you're delusional. And I thought... Yeah. He is actually delusional, because
completely.
It seems like he believes what he's saying. Because then he said something like, we made an agreement, you weren't going to tell anyone, or something. He said something like that. And she's like, what are you on about?
Yeah.
And it feels to me like he's literally got some kind of personality disorder where he like probably actually believed what he was saying.
Yeah, can separate his own actions from his from the character that he's created of himself at that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because and then obviously to then continue with that voice note and say it's all false and everything. It's like he believed it. It's like he genuinely believed that these allegations are fake. And that's what's ruining my life, not because I actually did it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It would have been a bit more interesting to see that side as well, that he actually doesn't believe that he's done anything wrong. But I guess that'd be a whole other psychological
thing. Yeah, it would. But I also think that actually, scratching away at that, ultimately, he was going to fall eventually because he's just become so detached from reality that as more of these accusations come forward, he's going to be unable to defend himself because all he really had was, but I'm a pastor. That's all he had, really, because the stories were in the press. More and more of his parishioners were turning around and saying, actually, I think I believe the women. Thanks very much. So it was never going to end well for him, which is why ultimately he topped himself, I think.
Mm. I think, like you said as well, with Stella having that epiphany this week, and Yolanda said, like, why do you think you move church so often? And she went, oh, that's normal. And Yolanda's like, no, it's not. Now you understand why he's been doing it so much. And it was like, all these things just clicked, didn't they, in Stella's brain for her, I think. I actually feel sorry for Stella because now you can see that she does believe him. And she's like, I've been so blindsided. Yeah.
She's been manipulated because she's basically been used as a cover for all of his crimes, because the image that he was giving off was, well, I've got this beautiful wife. Why would I ever want to go off and do these things that I'm being accused of? Why, look at my wife. She's beautiful and she's headstrong and she's, you know. So to realise that the man that you loved has actually been using you like that for years and years and years must be absolutely mind-bending. So that's why I really enjoyed Stella's journey this week. I doubt we're going to see her again because I don't think actually there's any need to see Stella again from this
point. I don't think we're going to see much of this. It's just all going to be about how Yolanda moves about forward Yolanda now, I think.
Yeah. And also a shame that I don't think we're probably going to see Agatha again either. I was delighted to see Agatha this week.
You never know, though. We might, because we might see Yolanda going back to the church and rediscovering the faith again. Maybe Agatha might help her with that along the way, but I was very surprised that Agatha just believed her, I must admit.
Great
that she did.
The point where you thought it was a little bit out of character and felt a little forced, maybe? Okay. Yeah,
I didn't want
what you mean.
Use the word forced, Rob, because you always tell me off when I say that.
No, I know what you mean, because actually, to go from point A to the point B with Agatha, she's gone from, like, the row that Yolanda and Agatha had, where she, like, the last real conversation that we saw the pair of them have, Yolanda slapped her because of the accusations that were being thrown away. So for her to go from there to, oh, I guess you were telling the truth then. Sorry about my part in that. Mm. Yeah, I understand. Feels a little bit of a jump.
But also so, nice for Yolanda, because at least she's not got that battle to have, which is good.
No, not good for us, though. It's a shame. Quite enjoyed that.
It's not, but I don't know. It's otherwise, it might take the focus away from what they're really trying to
completely,
do as well.
Yeah,
so maybe
yeah.
that's what it's about.
Yeah, and this now, I think, you're right. I think it's now going to become a much more internal thing with Yolanda and sort of seeing her, how she's going to maybe adapt her faith, or sort of, is she going to be able to go back to it? Because that Bible got thrown very firmly in the bin. Mm. So whether she's going to be able to return to that, I think she will ultimately, because that's how she's been alive for so long. But it'll be interesting to sort of see how Yolanda and Patrick move on from this. So, yeah, some good stuff in there this week. Yeah, I understand that it's maybe not the ending that a lot of people were wanting, but I would argue actually it was the only ending we were ever going to get right from the start of the storyline. So, interesting stuff. But let us know in your comment section below what you thought of the outcome of this storyline. We fully expect some people to disagree with us, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Right, ladies and gents, next story. So on to Kat and Alfie and Tommy, who in my head, I've got to be honest, is now currently known as the little shit, because he is a little shit, is Tommy now, isn't he? He really, really is.
He's not great, but if we get a little Michael Moon out of him, I'll be quite happy. Because I'm a big fan of Michael Moon. He's one of my all-time favourite villains, Michael Moon.
Is he?
Yes, but so far he's not got that Michael Moon edge. He's just being a little shit.
But then how do you imagine Michael Moon was like as a teenager? Do you reckon he was this outwardly aggressive? Because to be honest, he's more like... It's more like you can imagine Phil was as a teenager rather than Michael Moon at this moment, I think.
Oh, no, because I think he's being a bit more sly with it there now, Tommy. Like, I think he started off as Phil and he was very boisterous and in your face, but now I think he's learning that he needs to be a bit more tactical and clever. So like saying things like, I love you, mum, every so often. Just giving her that little bit that she needs to catch.
Oh, she needed that, didn't she? She grabbed that with both hands, didn't she?
And he knew that. He knew that one little thing that he said was going to mean the world to her. And he's like, okay, I've got her for another week. I can get up to some stuff behind closed doors without her knowing. He's very manipulative.
He is. And then the way that he's threatening Bert and Ernie as well is a little bit worrying as well, isn't it? He's going very dark very quickly, I think.
Psychopathic. Why would he want to do that to his brothers? Yeah.
I'm beginning to wonder, actually, if this is even going to be redeemable by the end, if they're going to make him to the point, whether this is actually going to be who Tommy Moon is from this point onwards, and he's just going to be a really dark character from this point onwards.
But what do you think has been the turning point for him? Do you think it's like a bit of a nature v nature, he always had this side in him, or do you think something major's happened to make him turn like this?
I mean, I'm just trying to think over Tommy's life. Like, yes, he's had upheaval because of the fact that Kat's his mum and Alfie's his dad, but it's not like... You know, you look at someone like Ben and you kind of think, that makes sense. Tommy, you know, it's not like he hasn't constantly been surrounded by love. It's not like in the case of Ben.
Family.
Yeah, it's not like in the case of Ben, for example, he's had to feel like he's constantly fighting for affection or constantly trying to sort of be the person that his parents want him to be. Like, they very much been sort of, we love you. Yeah, cool. Then that's been
supported
the end of the
him
conversation.
In everything when he was being a footballer.
Yeah.
Now they're getting him into the boxing type side of things.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, though. Is that what's it? I mean, the only thing I can think of is he took like moving out from Phil really hard.
Yeah.
So is it just that he's bitter
he?
About moving out of Phil's amazing house that he seemed to think were like a palace compared to the flat that they've now moved into? Yeah. Has that been the...
So do you think that Phil ultimately is going to be where the blame lies for how Tommy is turning out now?
This is why I'm like, is it nature v nature? Did he always have this side and it were always going to come out even if he'd carried on living with Phil? Would this have still happened? Yeah. Or is it because of all these things? I also feel like, I don't know whether they're going to touch on it because it doesn't feel like they're going down that route, but he seems to like be a bit like hated towards women, but more so his mum. It's very much like... Well, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it's a bit like, oh, all these relationships she has. It's almost like he's trying to imply it's you and all these men that are making my life
maybe
fail.
Maybe my incel storyline is actually coming, but it's going to be
no,
Tommy
this is
instead.
What I was wondering. That's what I'm actually starting to wonder with him.
If that
but
happens,
we've not
I'm, getting,
seen
I'm taking
that
it
side.
As credit. I'm taking it as credit if I get if that happens.
But I did wonder, I mean, there was a little comment about you can afford to have your nails done and that kind of thing, but you can't afford a jacket for me. Yeah. I don't know. I might be clutching at straws, but it just seems almost a bit out of the blue that he's just started behaving like this. Unless,
I don't know.
Believe that he did always have that side, and we've just not seen it until now.
This is what I mean. I think if it was less, if there was less of a sort of loving family environment around him throughout his entire kind of growing up. I mean, yes, he had Michael Moon as a dad. So I wonder if that's actually just going to be the simplicity of it, of from where they're coming from as to why he's now acting like this, because Michael Moon is his dad.
Exactly.
And they're literally just trying, they're going to create the next
biologically.
Yeah, I think maybe that might be end of where it's going. But it's interesting to sort of wonder psychologically where this is going to go. And I think also, like we discussed, when the storyline originally started, it's been quite a while since we've talked about the Kat and Tommy dynamic. It's been, I think, a fair few months. It's interesting to give a character like Kat a storyline like this to sort of deal with.
Yeah.
To sort of see how Kat once again deals with abuse in the family home. So I think there's more of an element of that to it as well. But I do think that we're actually heading towards a place where Tommy's not going to be redeemable from this, and he's going to just be an out and out villain growing up from this point onwards.
Is it going to just end in him being killed off down the line somewhere?
Or arrested or something like that. Yeah, it's going to be
Bert
interesting.
Bert and Ernie are in danger with the looks of
things
as
well. Yeah, they
really
are. Yeah, it's getting a little bit worrying on that front. So elsewhere, the Kat and Alfie thing, these look like they're slowly starting to get closer again, doesn't it? And I think this is the other thing. I think he's got an internal battle going on that he doesn't actually want Kat and Alfie to get back together.
He's just obsessed with Phil being his dad.
Yeah,
I think...
Yeah.
But also looking at it from Tommy's perspective, from such a young, like, he's had Phil Yeah, it might have only been a few years, but they're very important years
yeah.
for the age that Tommy
yeah,
was
very
at
development,
his dad, Phil.
Developmental.
Yeah.
Year. Developmental. That's the word I'm trying to say.
Developmental, yeah.
That's the one, yeah.
But it's baffling, isn't it? Because all along, even though it's Phil who cheated on Kat, which is why they've broken up,
yeah.
he's still blaming Kat for it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
but it
yeah,
was...
Yeah, because why did he cheat on you? Why did he have to cheat? Or what did you do to force him into cheating on you? Yeah, it's...
Again, the women-hating incel
side,
perhaps.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
But it's going to be interesting to sort of see how Phil ultimately reacts to when he finds out what's been going on. Because actually, I even though Phil was pretty much like this, you know, we've seen Phil over the years hit women. Mm. And we've seen Phil hit his mum, for Christ's sake. I mean, yeah, he was pissed when he did it. But all the same, he's never actually kind of ultimately gone after a woman in the way that we think that Tommy's going to end up going after Kat in this regard. And he seems to be actually quite against that when Phil's in his right frame of mind. So it'll be interesting to sort of see how Phil reacts to that. And how Tommy and Phil bounce off each other from that point onwards.
I don't think Phil's going to be involved in this now, though. No. I think that's it. It's done. That's just what started it for Tommy.
The catalyst.
I don't know. The catalyst.
The catalyst. We like that.
There you go.
It's going to be interesting. Kind of elsewhere during this, we saw Olga for the first time in months and months and months this week. I forgot how much I liked Olga. She's got sass about her. And I suspect we're probably not going to be seeing her again after that because Alfie's been fired from the betting shop. Let's be real, quite rightly.
Yeah. Just closed shop up in middle of the day. What
I wish
expecting?
I could do that at work.
What was it for? Just to chase after Tommy?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm closing this at your place of business because to deal with my own family drama. See you later. Oh, that'll be fine. Yeah, no, Alfie, that's not how you keep a job. So where that ultimately ended up going was him being interviewed for the manager of the Minute Mart by Avani and Nugget, who was sat there like Alan Sugar.
Brilliant.
And his secretary.
Absolutely brilliant.
I quite enjoyed that. I don't know... Yeah. How that? Do you reckon he's going to have that job at the Minute Mart? Because actually, I think that's not a great suit for Alfie as a character. I don't think he'd be very good. I don't think he'd be a very good manager at the Minute Mart.
Well, I think he is because I think that we're going to see Alfie go away for this training course of 2 weeks in Birmingham and then see some Tommy Kat stuff again whilst Alfie's away.
Oh yes,
Alfie'll come back. Tommy will be good as gold. Kat won't tell.
Yeah, yeah.
Alfie about the fact that Tommy's just punched her in the stomach again or whatever he's going to get up to while Alfie's away. So I think he is going to take it. But I don't know legally whether, you know, two school kids are actually allowed to hire staff in this way and do all of that.
Probably not. But then again, the Panasar Empire has never exactly been 100% legit the entire time we've known it. So it doesn't surprise me, really.
It's not actually been handed over to them yet, has it?
Like, no, he's not dead yet. But yeah, they're taking control already, which you've got to admire their gumption. Fair enough. Their business acumen. Like, fair
do you think
play
Nish
there.
Is guiding them from his hospital bed and being like, yeah,
probably.
We'll send Alfie on that course then if you think he's good for the job. I trust your judgment, Avani and Nugget.
My question, can you imagine Avani like going on Google, like researching manager courses? I will send him on this,
Well, it's part of a franchise, isn't it, Rob? So maybe it's just the thing, I don't know.
Well, you know,
strange.
Yolandi could have done this. Yeah, she used to own the whole place. She used to work at head office when this used to be a sub-branch. Yes. Well, we'll see how it goes. But so we reckon, I think you're right, Alfie's going to go off and do his management course and that's going to leave Kat in Tommy's clutches along with the brothers, who I'm really worried about at this stage. How dark is it going to get? Do you reckon we're going to lose one of the little brothers? Is it going to go that far?
Oh, God, I've not even considered that. Surely not.
There's got to be a reason why they've included him threatening the boys as well.
I'm wondering if he's going to be super manipulative and make the boys start doing things that are bad to make them look worse than Tommy. But actually, Tommy's pulling the strings and making them do this. And then Tommy's going to come in all big brothery in front of everyone and be like, I can't believe you've just done that, Burton. And he's like, do it again then, do it again, or I'm going to beat you up. That kind of thing.
Oh dear, poor Kat. I really feel for Kat at this moment, actually. It's not good. Oh dear. Right. We'll all move on now to the next story. So I think you will find, ladies and gents, that the conversation about Cindy and Junior a few weeks ago between me and Ree was sort of wondering whether feelings were going to develop. And I think we might be there, Ree, don't you?
Yes, definitely.
Did they come from the place that you thought they were going to come from?
What, Joe?
Yeah,
Junior, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah. After you'd said it, Cindy's not. I can't believe that Cindy would be that cold. But
I don't understand how anyone can begin a sentence with, I can't believe Cindy would.
I don't know.
like
myself.
Anything. Unless that sentence ends with the word, give all my lottery winnings to charity. Like, she is Cindy. This is so Cindy. But I actually agree with you. that she was cold this week, wasn't she? Like, she could not make it more obvious that she sees this relationship as nothing other than just a bit of fun.
A game
and
as well.
A game. And when I don't need you, I don't need you. Like, you're not there in my life. Yeah, but yeah, effectively. Really interesting this week. And I cannot wait to sort of, because I think we discussed over the month, over the past few months, that there might be a little bit of a oddness to Junior's psychological makeup somewhere in there. So how is he going to react to this? Is this going to be his heart being broken effectively is going to actually end up in this whole thing being revealed?
Could be. Definitely could be if he starts getting hurt along the way.
Yeah. So let's talk about that moment when Cindy and Junior decided to have sex in the pie and mash shop, because where else would you go? Because nothing gets me hotter than a bit of pie and mash. I'll tell you that for nothing.
And eels.
And eels.
Eels.
Don't get confused between the eels and something else. Anyway.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah. And the... they do their thing. They have sex in on the floor. It's very unhygienic having sex in a restaurant, can I just say. I
hope they all do it. They're all like,
they always have to always do it. Always do it.
Remember Anna and Freddie and Chippy? I couldn't get over that, mate.
Peter and Dana had sex in the restaurant kitchen. They're everywhere. Everywhere. You couldn't pay me to have the meal in Walford. Honestly, it's disgusting. Mm-mm. They should all be closed down by environmental health.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. 1-star ratings.
Absolutely. so they do this, but then Ian arrives at the restaurant and Junior has to hide under the table. I thought I liked all this. Like, it was quite a comedy setup, wasn't it? It was quite funny. Yeah. Like, those two having a conversation with Junior's head just sort of poking Junior's out between Cindy's legs. And so Junior decides that he's kind of a bit bored with all this sneaking around. He wants them to be a little bit more solid. I think he gets, you know, the affair angle, because this is Junior. We know that Junior knows how affairs work. Mm-hmm. But I think he wanted to sort of promote it a little bit so that they could have a sort of semi-normal secret relationship. I don't think he necessarily wants them to come out loud and proud and say, me and Cindy are together now, and, you know, that's how it's going to be. I think he's quite happy for this setup as they've got it going on at the moment to sort of continue, but I think he wants it to just have a little bit more tenderness to it.
Just like, we can have some food as well and a chat in between.
A date.
In between
all the shagging. We can have a bit of lunch, you know. We need to sustain ourselves. I can have a sandwich before you ride me on the table again in Beale's Eels. That'd be great. Thanks, you know.
Exactly. You know, I think that is what it is. But then I think a part of me also thinks it's because Junior is probably used to these women wanting that side.
Yeah, he's not used to saying,
it's just an affair. Now he's on the receiving end. He's met his match,
and Cindy bloody Beale.
Do you know what I was surprised at? You know, because obviously Cindy had to leave with Ian and lock him in Beale's Eels.
Yeah.
When she came back, I thought Junior were going to be fuming, but he was just there like casually eating ice cream, like, oh, you're back. I thought he were going to be like, no, this is it. We need to sort something out properly now. But he weren't actually that annoyed, were he?
No, but I do. He did, but I do think that that was the catalyst to where we ended up next, which was them going to some hotel and him saying, you could have dinner if you like. And Cindy literally was kind of like, no, you're all right, thanks. I think we're fine how we are.
So right now I've got some, Ian's cooking some pies that are going off later.
Could she have rejected him much more than that? Like, Ian's cooking me gone off food. I'd rather do. He literally said, she could have got out of that if she wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, though, because you could argue that she's going to say, but I couldn't make up another excuse when he's, you know, Ian's cooking. I've got to go home.
Yeah, she could have just said that, though. She could have said that, couldn't she? She could have said, I would love to, but I don't. I think we've got to be a bit careful now. But she didn't say any of that. She literally was just sort of like, no, you're all right, thanks.
Looking forward to those pies that are going off. I'd rather have that than go out for a meal with you.
In fact, you know what? I left them out the fridge so that I could have them tonight. So actually, I'd much rather eat the pies than have you. Thank you very much. I've had sex with you twice today already. That's more than enough.
That's enough,
So, interesting. How do you think Junior's going to react to this? I think he's going to be a bit jaded from here, isn't he?
I think, I don't know though, it depends on whether Cindy starts noticing it and then she starts manipulating the situation more to work in her favour and going, right, we're on this territory now, are we? Well, maybe I'll give him a little bit here and there so that it's not all, I've still been waiting for him to like hire a flat just for this purpose, but They've still not done that yet.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, I've got it all planned in my head if I have to do this. Yeah. I just thought that that's what they do, but instead it's just her tells and him wanting to take her on dates, like you said, but no, Cindy is not interested.
I think this is going to bite Cindy on the bum big time. I think that we have ultimately the George and Elaine wedding coming up in the next couple of months. And I think that's going to be where it comes out, if I'm honest.
Oh, you think on the actual wedding day? Do you think Cindy will be invited? Why would she?
Well, I think George will want, because maybe her, why would she? You're quite right. Why would Cindy ever be invited? But maybe the daughters are sort of like, go on, let's invite mum. Yeah. Let's make this a family event. I think so. I think that's how it's going to play out. It's either going to be that or Christmas, or maybe they're going to get married at Christmas and we kill two birds with one stone.
True. No, they said it were November, didn't they? I've got it in my head that they're getting married. Yeah, in maybe.
Although I could see Elaine wanting to get married on Christmas Day just for the drama.
I could as well, but...
Just so she could look like a snow angel. Yes. Wedding's on the earth. Meanwhile, in the Vic, a little bit of stuff this week with George and Kojo. Quite nice stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're sort of beginning to sort of understand each other a little bit more, I think. Like, little
it's
bit.
All right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Quite like all this. You know, Kojo just sort of learned
to pull his first pint. Honest, where's it going? Am I meant to be waiting for it to go somewhere, or is it just meant to be nice?
Sometimes. Yeah. Do you know what? Sometimes it's just about, character studies, you know? Sometimes just sit back and enjoy two people having a nice conversation.
It's nice. All right, Samus.
And then other than that, Anna and Freddie, I assume at some point, I don't know why now they've decided, oh no, we can't be anywhere near each other. Like, after it's all come out. Like, what?
Because I think they're just trying to wait for the dust to settle, because you don't, like Anna kind of said as well, you don't want to start on rocky terms. You wouldn't want to start a new relationship on rocky terms. Because remember, Junior's advice was, oh, why don't you just do it on the sly and not let anyone know? Yeah. And she's like, you don't want to start off a relationship like an affair. That's not a good start.
Yeah, which again, it was what kind of prompted him to try and ask Cindy out for a date, I think. I mean, I get it. I know Anna's supposed to be as pure as a driven star in many respects, but for God's sake, it's all out in the open now. Maybe I'm just too cold and callous. I'm like, oh, come on then. Let's get married now. Screw it.
They're hanging out as friends for now. It'll be inevitable. It'll happen.
Yes.
They just wait for it dust to settle. It's fine.
Give it time. Whatever. Yeah. Give it time. Right, ladies and gents. Biggest storyline of the week now, I think, and that is Reese, Bianca, and the return of the King. On to the biggest storyline of the week now, and this is Reese and Bianca. Have you enjoyed Bianca this week, Ree? I know she's one of your favourite characters. What do you think?
Loved her.
Yeah,
loved her, but I also feel really sorry for her, though, that she hasn't got one person on her side.
I kind of get it, though, because she's acting like a mess. She really, really is.
It would be nice for her to be having these conversations, like, with Kat. I get why she's not, but...
Yeah.
Have these conversations, someone be like, actually, maybe there is a bit of truth in what she's saying. The fact that every single person's like, don't be so daft, Bianca. I'm a bit like, oh, but she's right.
Yeah, she is right. But I think that it's not like, sometimes what happens in the situation is somebody that is normally quite sensible will come out with, I think Reese killed his wife. And we're like, why isn't anybody believing this person that they would normally believe 100% of the time? Mm. But I think because Bianca typically is quite flighty and quite gobby and quite argumentative, people are just sort of like, oh, Bianca, shut up. Just you being Bianca. Oh, and you've got depression. So,
she's drinking a lot as well, which is drinking a lot.
So, no, not really. And she's going after bird recorders when she literally could have just used a phone. That's how unstable she is at the moment.
I didn't even think of that.
Why did she bother with that?
I don't know. To be fair, though, he did say, like, oh, it can record from a distance really well. So maybe she was thinking.
Yeah, but she didn't record it from a distance. She stuck it right next door to his head.
Because I thought, oh, she's going to leave it in the living room, but try and get it out of him in the kitchen or something so that it's not close by.
No,
yeah.
Didn't bother with any of that. No, she's unstable. No. I'm telling you now, unstable. What you wanted last week was for Brenda and Bianca to meet. Did you get what you wanted out of that meeting?
No, not at all.
You wanted fireworks, didn't you? But actually, they got on quite well.
But it doesn't make sense to me that they got on quite well, considering that Brenda is still very much under the impression that Sonia killed her daughter. For her to then just sit down and have a conversation with her sister made absolutely no sense to me.
Right.
They should have had a bit more of a conversation about, specifically about, do you think Reese could have done it?
Yeah.
For him to, like... They kind of bonded over the fact that they both think there's a side to Reese, but then why would Brenda do that when you're the sister of the person who killed her daughter? I didn't understand that.
Well, I thought there was a really interesting development with this whole storyline this week was the revelation that Debbie had actually basically removed Reese out of her
Of
world because
course.
she didn't like him. Like, I wasn't expecting that. I thought
No.
that was actually quite a good twist because I was sort of like, and that now brings into question something that you've been asking in Fair Play to you for weeks now, which is sort of like, there's more to Reese and Debbie's relationship. I don't believe that they are love's young dream or anything like that. So what the hell's been going on with those two is the
Well,
question.
see, this is it, right? So when you watch Reese, when he's talking about Sonia and all of this, and he's coming across as this guy, if we didn't know that Reese had actually killed Debbie, we
Yeah.
would believe everything that he's saying, wouldn't we?
100%. And
Because
we
of how
did.
he's acting,
We did.
right?
Even when we saw him
Right?
do it, we did. We're like, no, it's fine. It's only Reese.
And
Don't
he's
worry about it.
acting all nonplussed, and I don't know
Yeah.
why they've got Sonia, and it's obviously not her, but you
Yeah.
wouldn't suspect him at all. He's kind of doing the same about the Debbie thing, you could read into it. He's acting all, what? What do you mean I weren't in the will? Does he actually know why? Does he know how bad their relationship
To
was?
be
Or is he
fair,
genuinely, shocked by it?
I know. I think he is genuinely shocked by it. I think
Oh,
he's
I'm not
absolutely.
sure.
I see. I think he's absolutely floored by it, and I can kind of understand why. Because the reasoning that we were sort of given for that wasn't. There wasn't an implication that anything sort of weird or dark had gone on. It was basically sounds like Debbie was just very bored of him because he likes to play board games and
And his
like was an
weird little way.
accountant
Yeah,
in
but
weird little
Brenda said his
ways.
weird. Yeah, but what were his weird little ways?
I know, but I also think that Brenda's actually quite judgmental, and like Brenda's the sort of person that would look at somebody like Reese and just call them weird just to be Brenda. I didn't get anything out of that there was anything like. What do you mean weird little ways? Like what? Like the way that he is like quite easily panicked, or the way that he likes to do accountants in a certain way, or the way that he is quite
Yeah, but
anal around things. You
it
know,
could have been.
that's.
Maybe you were a bit controlling over Debbie for all we know. That was what they meant by weird little ways. And maybe Debbie didn't specifically say that to Brenda,
Yeah.
but she just said, oh, I'm sick of these weird little ways that he has about doing things like the money has to go in this account. Or, you know what I mean? I don't know. I
Yeah,
don't
I
know.
know
I'm riffing,
it's
Rob. I'm riffing.
I know it's a bit weird at this point, and I'm sort of just like, what are we supposed to be reading out of that? Because at the moment, it literally just sounds like he was just irritating to Debbie more than
But I'm
like
telling you,
anything bad going on.
the fact that he's putting on this act so well about the Sonia situation makes me think he's doing the same with the Debbie thing, and actually he probably does know why she did it. I don't know that. I
Yes.
could be totally wrong, but that is
But
my.
I think he is genuinely kind of gutted about the way the Sonya situation has played out. So I don't think there's necessarily any acting going on involved
Oh,
there.
poor
But
Reese.
But I feel
I know
like,
what you're saying.
you know, yes, we know why Sonya has been arrested because he didn't say, well, actually, that was me. And that's literally probably the only thing that could have saved Sonya at that moment. So you sort of understand why he didn't say it in terms of the story. But I also kind of think that he is so gutted by that, and his weird little ways have never turned Sonia off. So what is the
Yeah,
difference
but
between
the
Sonia
way
and Debbie in that regard?
we've always said though, like, why is Sonia like so defensive of him and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, he's obviously manipulative in some ways, because it is. For the fact that Sonia just were like, oh yeah, let's just take that money off your wife
Yeah.
in a coma and all that.
Yeah.
And
It's
there's more to it. Excuse me on this
Yes.
note,
Yes.
right? So when they
Yes.
read out the will,
Yes.
and Brenda and Hugh have got all of the majority of the belongings, right? Did you notice anything about where they're being stored?
No, where?
In a secret storage unit.
Right.
Reese has got access to a storage unit.
Oh, I see. So you think someone's going to get tied
Bianca's
up in there?
definitely going to get locked up in there.
Maybe,
This is
yeah.
the shed that we've been talking
That
about.
you've been talking about. I'll give you I'm giving you
Why did
full
they
credit for this.
why did he
You can have
mention a
this.
storage unit? My ears
Yeah.
went, oh, that's
Oh, I
where
bet they
Bianca's going to get
did.
locked in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Your ears
Yep.
stuck up like
She's going to be in
steel at
there.
that moment, didn't they? Yeah, yeah,
Yes.
yeah.
I'm telling you now.
You could be right. You could very well be right. Because actually, I'm struggling to see from this point onwards how Reese ever shuts Bianca up. Especially now that she's got her dad arriving on the scene, and that presumably is going to believe Bianca. So,
Lock her up in the storage unit with the weird little
yes.
doll's house.
With
That's what
Brenda
he's
as
gonna
well.
do.
Because I don't think Brenda is
Oh, maybe.
I don't think Brenda's gonna be punishment free throughout all of this because she's given Reese no end of hell since we've met her. So
This is why I was so confused by the Bianca and Brenda like situation, because I was expecting them to have more of a conversation about
yeah.
Reese, but for me it felt a bit like that's Brenda and Hugh gone.
Yes, possibly.
Everything's been wrapped up.
Possibly. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how that all sort of plays out. The Reese kind of, the Reese side of things sort of goes on. Yes. Bianca continues to be a mess, not helping herself whatsoever, becoming more and more unstable to the point where Freddie even turns around to her at one point and says, maybe you've got ADHD, which I don't think she has, in all honesty.
I do.
Do you think Bianca's got ADHD?
Yeah, now that you said it, I'm like, oh, interesting other way, an interesting other direction to go with this, because there is quite a big thing about women getting diagnosed a lot later in life.
Okay.
And the fact that Freddie was describing some of his symptoms at school and Bianca like, oh, that sounds like me, ha, and then did the whole, oh, I've been looking at, what were it? Not squirrels, but like ferrets on TikTok or something. Yeah. That was supposed to show they've both got ADHD.
Okay, then. Oh, that's interesting. All right, well, maybe. I mean, I have more sort of wondered about this whole sort of depression thing, because Bianca does seem to be getting blamed. Her behaviour does seem to be getting blamed quite a lot on just depression as an umbrella term, you know? So you could have a point.
A symptom of ADHD as well could be hyperfixation, which they might try and imply with her being so fixated on this Reese stuff that it's just her current obsession.
Yeah, well, they went even further with that when Freddie was talking about a hyperfixation on justice. So
yes, just I've got that but so then I, bad as well.
Yeah, so have I, to be fair. Yeah, but then I would also argue, of course she's got a fixation on the justice, because she doesn't believe that Sonia's done anything wrong, so why wouldn't she be determined to
there
get
is that there, because it is her sister.
I don't see how that's a fixation on justice, because this is Bianca, who has done many unjustified things over the years. So
they're trying to say, like, you know, you really need justice, like, to be carried out. But in fairness, if there's ever a situation where you're going to be, it's when your sister's locked up, when your pregnant sister's locked up for a murder that she didn't commit. I think a lot of people might.
Yeah.
But I do get it. Because would she be behaving this way if it were she's being accused of dicking her to the beans for a minute mark?
You exactly. Know? Yeah. You know, this is the woman who has thrown bricks through windows, who has assaulted people, who has done everything under the sun, and she was never that keen on the idea of justice enduring any of that. So I kind of think maybe.
But
not.
I do get it as well, though. I think that they might start going down that line, and it'd be quite an interesting path to take. I don't know why they then throw that into the mix there.
Well, do you think that depression and ADHD sometimes get misdiagnosed and confused with one another in the diagnosis? Yeah.
Well, people who've got undiagnosed ADHD are more likely to get depression because they've not got the support that they need to navigate day-to-day life, have they? So they're more likely to have depression or anxiety. Mm. So it's not necessarily that she has been misdiagnosed. It's what is causing the depression.
Yeah. Perhaps. Okay. Well, we'll see where it goes. At the moment, as we leave the week, Bianca is in the rubbish, which seems suited her quite well, I thought, because she was so drunk and toppling around all over the place.
I felt sorry for Bianca. Everyone else is looking at her as a mess. She clearly needs some help.
She does need some help. And she made another move on Junior this week, which, fresh from his rejection of Cindy, I'm quite frankly surprised that he didn't go there.
But then when she walked in the vic and we were really drunk.
You've read Junior completely wrong. He's got morals.
I actually felt like when she walked in drunk, you were like, oh God, I thought you were being a bit judgy of her. And we're like, oh, what are you thinking getting with that mess?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I did get that vibe.
But Kat has basically been trying to not control, but sort of help Bianca all week and sort of, keep her under control, that's what I was trying to say. Trying to reason with her. And in the end, rings Ricky, who you kind of wonder, oh, is Ricky going to turn up as well? But no, Ricky sent David across. David is back. Very excited to sort of see David and see Michael French and Patsy Palmer acting together again. This is very exciting.
Sorry, rewind. Ricky sent David. I missed that bit.
Well, Ricky was trying to ring Bianca at one point, wasn't he? So right. I'm assuming that's why.
Oh, and I just assumed that David was in town because we saw Kojo looking at the antiques car leaflet.
David had just turned up for no reason whatsoever.
A mad coincidence, No, I thought he were coming to do the antiques classic car show.
He's filming Antiques Roadshow down the road.
There was a leaflet. Kojo found a leaflet saying that they were doing a classic car show in Walford. Right. So I just assumed that David had turned up for that and then came across Bianca. Oh. I didn't think that Ricky had rang David.
I think that's probably what happened. But hey, if it turns out that David actually was just happened to be in the area, I will hold my hands completely. But I'm fairly sure that Ricky got David involved at that moment. I'm fairly sure that's probably how it all played out. All but we'll see. We'll see next week. We'll see. But nevertheless, how exciting. David's back on the scene. Yes. Very, 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 very pleased to see David again. So I think that David and Bianca are, I think he's going to believe Bianca for a start.
Yeah, I
think
Reese hope so.
Reese is now in a butt ton of trouble. Now David's on the scene and it's going to be on his back.
Or what if he doesn't believe her though and goes along with what everyone else is saying?
Well, I think in the first couple of episodes he will. And then the two of them will have heart to heart. The other thing that we need to get excited about is the fact that imagine in 2024, we have David, we have Ian, and we have Cindy on screen together. That is huge.
I'm still determined she's going to have an affair on top of the affair with David.
Why not? Well, surely. David's about to discover that she's alive again. I'm fairly sure he won't know about that yet.
Well, no, he might not. Yeah, no. He might not.
Because I don't think Bianca will have been in that much contact with David in the time that since we last saw her. And I don't think anyone would have bothered to ring David and go, you know, that woman who used to have sex with quite a lot, is she still alive? I don't think anyone would have bothered
with
that.
She's back with your brother as well, by the way. Your half-brother.
Yeah. So she's got to have that. They've got to have that moment of David like seeing Cindy for the first time in years. Oh, I'm very excited for next week.
Maybe he'll spot the junior thing and be like, Cindy, what are you doing?
Maybe. But there's got to be a moment between Ian and David and Cindy. Yeah, like, why would you bring David back when Cindy's
100%,
back? 100%. Cannot wait. Bring that on. But the prop king himself is back. I love it. His first scene, he's got a prop in each hand. Phone in one hand, suitcase in the other. It's going to be brilliant. I love it. So, Gold Star this week, Ray. Who are you giving it to?
Soz, Yolande.
Yeah, you're going to give it to Yolande, are you? I think I'm going to give my... Oh, screw it. I'll give mine to Bianca. She's been a lot of fun this week. And I'm excited to sort of see what goes on next week. I thought you were going to give yours to Bianca, to be honest.
I thought you were going to give yours to Yolande, but I wanted to give it to Yolande.
Chris
she was incredible, Angela, wasn't
she? Yeah, she always is. This week. She always is. She could walk in to the Vic and ask for a gin and it would be an award-winning performance. Good Angela Winter.
I agree. She is stunning.
Right, ladies and gents, we have some news, both podcast-wise and EastEnders-wise, so let's get on to that right now. Right, two bits of news, one for the show and one for this podcast. Okay, we'll start with the podcast stuff. As some of you will know, I'm going on an Asia trip next week. On Tuesday, I fly out to Asia. Now, I know what some of you will be asking. I have asked Alex. He is unavailable for recording, unfortunately, over the next few weeks. So this is what is going to happen. We will still be here, okay, bar 1 week. The plan as of right now, and make sure you are following us all over social media so you know if these plans change whatsoever, okay?
Which hopefully they won't.
Hopefully continental Wi-Fi and Wi-Fi and everything will be fine. So the plan is next week we will be here, okay? I will be recording from my hotel in Hong Kong, Soz. The week after that, Ree's actually away as well. So we will be missing the week after that. And then the week at the end of October, the podcast will be recorded, but it will be released a day late. Okay. So put it all in your calendars. Next week, hopefully, technology being kind, will be up as normal. I'll just be in Hong Kong instead of in the UK.
Yeah.
The second week, there will not be a podcast.
No podcast on the 19th of October, the weekend. Yep. No podcast that week.
And then the week after that, which is 2 days after I return to the UK, it'll be a day later on the 27th. Okay. That is the plan. If any of that changes, then we will let you know in every single way that we can. Marvelous. Right. That's us. The show released a little bit of news this week. We are meeting a brand new character. Teddy Mitchell will get a shock this autumn when his ex-wife Nicola turns up in Albert Square uninvited. Nicola wastes no time making her presence felt as she introduces herself to the rest of the Mitchells and tries to build bridges with sons Harry and Barney. Teddy will be less than impressed to have Nicola invading his new neighbourhood. However, Nicola is determined to stand her ground, whether Teddy likes it or not. Nicola Mitchell is to be played by Laura Doddington, who starred in Doctors Holby and The Midwich Cuckoos. She's already started filming and will be seen on screen in late autumn. So I'm going to say this right off the bat. I'm very excited about this because do you realise the last time we met a new Mitchell woman, like so long ago, so long ago. I'll be corrected, but I want to say it was the sisters.
Possibly,
I think it
might
have been all those years ago.
I was thinking Lola, but she's not like.
Proper like Mitchell.
And of
Nicola
course,
Mitchell.
She's got to be blonde. They're all blonde.
She's very blonde. Yeah, I wonder if that's going to be a thing, actually. Like, talking about, like, because a few people, when they instantly saw a picture, was like, oh my God, they've cast a young Sharon. And it's sort of like,
yes, I've seen people comparing her to like 80s Sharon. And,
she does look a bit like Sharon. So I wonder if that's going to be a thing. You sort of look at Sharon and you sort of look at Nicola and sort of understand the Teddy motivation. And speaking of Teddy, this actually looks to maybe be starting to explain his character a little bit. So we will know one way or the
I'll
other.
I'll finally
whether
know whether I can trust the geezer or not. Exactly. Right now I don't.
It's the jumpers. If she comes in and instantly starts slagging off his jumpers, she's going to be your favourite character of all time, isn't she?
Maybe that's why he's doing it. Maybe Nicholas had beef with him doing this with his jumpers. Yeah. Now they split up. He's like, I'm putting my jumpers on my shoulders every day just because I can.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But I'm very excited to meet Nicola. Yes. This is going to be good. And that's you know, sometimes when you get a vibe off a promo picture.
Yeah.
I got that off Priya. I will say. I looked at Priya's promo picture. I thought, oh, hello. You're going to be good. I like the look of you. So, yeah, bring on Nicola. I'm very, very excited. And this is going to be some interesting material for Harry and Barney as well, sort of understand their upbringing a little bit. Yeah, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. Very, very, very exciting. On to some comments now. Karen Cowley has said, Ian was a hoot tonight. I think she's referring to when he was lying on the sofa asleep, because his facial expressions while dozing off on the couch cracked me up. What's he dreaming about? The last few weeks have been very good for Adam Woodyatt. Finally, a year after his return, he's been able to show off his chops and remind everyone why he's such an integral part of the EastEnders cast and community. See, I agree. I have been so pleased that Ian's returned that I still remain, even when he turns up on screen, I'm like, I'm so glad Ian's back. I still get that little like kick of Ian's back, because the show did not feel right without him, did it?
I agree. Yeah, and I'm glad that he's actually involved in something now.
Yeah,
and his teeth into something.
Yeah, and the run up to this big reveal is going to be quite momentous, I think, because actually, they've done quite well, I think, in kind of dropping a few seeds of what an effect this will actually have on Ian. Because you get the impression that actually, you know why he's with Cindy, but at the same time, one more bit of betrayal, I think, will absolutely destroy him. So I think it's going to be interesting to sort of see how Ian reacts to all of this.
Definitely.
Bring it on.
I've got an email from Casey, which is a very interesting email. He says... Yes. Something that we've not mentioned, actually, Rob. With Lacey Turner going off on maternity leave again, I thought a huge storyline for her and the show's Ruby anniversary. And Casey says, who kills Ruby?
Ooh.
Suspects, Jean, Stacey, Kat, Martin and Eve, but the actual murderer being Lily.
Ooh.
And Casey's asked, I feel like this would be amazing, and what is your dream storyline for the 40th anniversary?
So do you know what, Casey? Well, do you know what, Casey? I do think that you're right in thinking that the 40th is going to be very heavily themed around Ruby. I think she's definitely back for a reason. I think the fact that it's the Ruby anniversary, I think you have a very, very good point there. And who kills Ruby? I did say, I think, when it was first announced, I reckon Ruby's going to die around the anniversary time. Yeah. So maybe, we shall see. Dream anniversary storyline? I've said this before, but I would love a train to go flying off that bridge. I know Corrie did it for their 50th, but that was different, you know. I'm sorry, but if you have an iconic piece of your set that includes a train going over a bridge, you're a soap. Throw a train off the bridge, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when the bus, we all thought that was where it was leading and it would have been amazing and epic, but it was the Sean O'Connor era, so you probably wouldn't have been that epic. I'm still bitter. I'm still bitter about that
fully
era.
Fully fair.
What do you think, Ray?
Well, I'm going to sound like I'm repeating myself.
A broken record.
But Ronnie and Roxy coming back from the dead would be amazing for me. That would be my dream anniversary episode.
We got told off before talking about that and so much in the comment section the other week.
Don't care. No, I'm not over it. And you're probably going to hear me say it again. So,
and I fully agree.
And you could so easily do it as well because
I know.
Billy was an undertaker at the time. Like, come on.
And the Mitchells only grieved for about 5 minutes after their death. Yes, the bins
got
more.
While you're at it, bring Pat back as well.
We might struggle a bit with Pat. Tell you what, though, I would love to see though, is an episode where they have past EastEnders characters like talking to each other from beyond, like the ghosts of EastEnders having an episode.
That'd be nice. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there'd be some cast who aren't actually with us anymore that would.
I know, yeah. You could have Pat say something like, well, Peggy should be here, but she's an obstinate cow, so she wouldn't come.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let us know. What would your ideal 40th anniversary storyline be? What would you have to really celebrate the show and the show's history? Let us know in the comment section below, or by doing any of the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on X and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you watch it on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favourite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark.
And if you can't find us on X, look for us on Twitter. I'm sure we'll be on there somewhere as well.
Oh, God, Rob, get over it.
Have I not had a terrible enough day as it is?
All right, let me have it this week.
To fall to the X drama as well. Right, ladies and gents, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. All being well, we'll be here next week and I shall be in Hong Kong, in my Hong Kong hotel. Fingers crossed that Wi-Fi is my friend, okay? But we will keep you updated with all possible potential changes. Until then, it's sayonara from me.
And goodbye from me.
That's Japanese. Goodbye from me.
Bye from me.
See you next week. Goodbye.